Well, good morning. How are you today? I am doing amazing. Those of you who don't know, my name is Jeremy Green. I get to be the lead pastor here, and I'm excited that you're here. If you're here for the first time, you're our guest. I hope that you are welcome and greeted. We try to be the most friendly and welcoming church that we can be, and we just believe that God is doing incredible things in this community. And let me just say, as the pastor here, I would love to invite you to check us out and get to know a little bit more about us. As Daniel said, we have some incredible things going on here. And today, if you're here for the first time, I want to tell you, you're on the last part of a four-part series called Friending. And don't worry, today you will get something out of it. But I will tell you that if you have missed a week, you really need to go online. You can actually go on your Android, smartphone, computer, tablet, whatever, and you can listen to these messages. It's weird listening when you can't see me, so if you want to just pull a picture up of me on there, you're welcome to do that. That's strange if you did that, Bobby, and Bobby does that. And so I want to tell you, we had the best month of our average monthly attendance last month. Can we give God praise? We are right at a little over a year and a half old, and you know, we're praying that we can reach the multitude. We know that there are more people far from God than people in this room, and that's why we exist, to lead people from the edge of life to a point. And I hope today that through this Friending series, you'll find a little bit of full life in Christ in there. I hope you'll realize that during this Friending series, it's about engaging community. And ultimately, friendships are about serving generously. And we love when our friends are generous, right? Don't you love your friends? I mean, I'll never forget being at Lake Hartwell. I just love friends who had Malibu boats, you know? I mean, that was kind of on my friend checklist. I'm kidding. I was a youth pastor. We had to have boats to get on Lake Hartwell. I'm glad you're here because today I kind of have to unpack some tension. And I normally just sort of creep up with the tension, but I'm just going to go ahead and give you a disclaimer. Part of this will be uncomfortable today, but I think when I answer a question that I'm going to ask in a moment, that you'll be able to understand where I'm coming from with this. You see, at some point in your life, you have seen that friend or friends on Facebook, and they're always posting controversial things. You know what I'm talking about? Do you have one of those friends? You know, they're always posting political things and it's not anywhere clear what you are. Or they're always posting, you know, those pictures of animals that are dead and you need to give. Like, I mean, you can post the craziest things. And I don't know if you're like me, but have you ever wanted to unfriend someone? I mean, be honest. Are you awake? Anybody want to unfriend? I love this new feature on Facebook, and none of you, I would never use any of this. I have 12,000 other friends I want to do this to, but it's got the unfollow button. Have you seen that lately? And you're not unfollowing, like, you're not defriending them, but you're unfollowing their posts. But, I mean, have you ever been unfriended? I mean, I want you to think about what social media has done for friendships, because think about this. You know, you can have 300 friends on Facebook, and you can have zero friends in real life. But what has it come to in our society today that we can unfriend, we can separate ourselves from a relationship? And I'm very pro-social media, but if we're not careful, I think that we can diminish the meaning of friendships. I mean, I get Facebook has friend requests. That's cool. But is every person that sends you a friend request your friend? I mean, why don't we have a button that says acquaintance request? You know, I mean, friend, we sort of take that word and we use it loosely. And I want to help us today because the reality is today I want to help us to redefine friendship. You see, the premise of this in the beginning for the whole series, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. You show me your friends, and I will show you your future. If you hang out with people that are wise, chances are you'll be wise. If you hang out with people that eat Twinkies all day, chances are you're not going to go to the gym. I have an ADD moment. Are you ready? They moved my gym next to Waffle House. I mean, come on. How am I supposed to get the All-Star Special? And it's not like it's next to it. I mean, where you sit in a booth, you have to see the fitness place that used to be a Blockbuster. And now it's there. And I just think the Holy Spirit did that. I've got to quit eating All-Stars. But, you know, I realized this in this verse that we began with in the first week. Walk with the wise and you will become wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm. Let me just tell you something. When I was in college, I grew up in a youth group, and I said yes to following Jesus. I had some events in my life personally and family I won't go into, but I got to college. I was kind of searching. I left my home church. I didn't really know where to go, and, there was a part of me, honestly, that was curious a little bit what that other life was like, and I will tell you, teenagers, if you're here today, that curiosity for me didn't happen alone. When I left my youth group friends and then I made new friends in college and I joined a fraternity, typically I would be with those people doing those things. And so I actually was kind of late to the game. I had people introduce me to some things, but I just remember any time I was doing something self-destructive or crazy or wild in college, I typically had a group of people around me who I had put as my friends, and that led to something. And so I was thinking about this in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. The reality is this, y'all. You can meet your friends by chance, but you deepen them by choice. You can meet your friends by chance, but you have a choice to deepen those relationships. And here's the bottom line today. If you're taking notes or you're typing in your smartphone, here is the bottom line today. It's impossible to live the right life when you have the wrong friends. It is impossible to live the right life. I'm talking a God-centering life. If you're here today and you don't claim to be a Christian and you don't know what this is all about, I'll give you a disclaimer on this one. But if you are a follower of Jesus, it is impossible to live the right life with the wrong friends. So the question is, what do we do when we want to live the right life and we don't have the right friends? Good question. I'm glad you asked me that. The Apostle Paul, in the New Testament, if you don't know what apostle means, it means follower, and he's a follower of Jesus, the apostle. And the Apostle Paul wrote most of the New Testament. That's the part in the back of the Bible. And you start hearing these like Corinthians and all these places. That's where he planted churches in those regions. And so Paul would give instructions to these people, and he's given instruction to this church in Corinth, and Paul's pretty smart, okay? He's really smart, way smarter than me, and he says this in verse 33. This is in Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Do not be misled. Do not be misled. Can I tell you something? I have preached a lot of messages. I have been where you're at. It's been a while. But there are times sometimes when I hear a preacher unpacking something, and I'm like, I get what he is saying, but that doesn't really apply to me. And you may be here today, and you're like, Jeremy, I'm a good person. I'm not like those people. I'm going to tell you something. Paul goes on to say, don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. You show me your friends, I'll show you your future. You see, the reality with this is Jesus was a friend of sinners. But he knew that you could suffer harm if you stayed in the wrong place for so long. He even talks about in the Bible, and I won't preach that today, about being unequally yoked. That when you are living a certain way and your friends are not, the reality is Jesus hung out with sinners, but he said for us to go be the light of the world. That we are to be the light in the darkness. It's kind of dark in here. I got the light on me. We're to be the light in the darkness. So that raises the question, should we hang out with those people or should we be the light of the world? And the answer is yes to both. You see, the reality is that we are to be the light of the world. And I want to help you with this because here's the deal. If you want to bolt this whole series out of what you're going to get out of it, it's this right here. You need if you're a follower, you're a Christian, you claim to follow Jesus, you need an inner circle of friends who are Christians. You need an inner circle of friends who are Christians because here's what's going to happen. When you have an inner circle of friends, notice inner circle. I didn't say all of your friends, inner circle of friends that are Christians, you're going to grow spiritually. And when you grow spiritually, the roots of your spiritual faith are going to grow deep so that when life's storms come at you, you will have depth in that. You will have friends that will heed and help you. But here's what will happen. Your influence will get bigger. As you grow deeper, your influence gets bigger. Are you with me? And this is important because when we look at our inner circle of friends, do we have people that help us. Teenagers, let me tell you something. The hardest year of my life was ninth grade. I mean, not my life like forever, but you know, like that phase, we go in phases. You'll learn that one day. But you know, ninth grade was tough. I mean, eighth grade, we just came off and Roswell winning the state championship for football. We were going to be well-liked in the high school because we were good. And I remember walking in and like, you know, you got the seniors and they look like cavemen because they have facial hair and stuff and my voice is cracking. And you walk in and you're kind of puny and they're big. But I just remember some of my friends, like these were my friends. These were my sports friends, you know, that we didn't go to church. But you kind of in middle school, that wasn't as separated as it is today. But these guys were doing some things on the weekends, and I was feeling pressured to do that. And I just remember, you know, thanking God that I had other teenagers who were Christians who were my friend. And we would sit to church together, sit in church together on Sunday morning. And while our friends were hungover, we were worshiping Jesus. Now, I lost sight of that at some point, because I didn't choose my friends wisely on the second half. But I will tell you today that those friendships mattered for me in high school. Those friendships kept me out of trouble. Some of those friendships helped me feel a call to ministry at age 16 and not feel like the weirdest person ever. How do you not even get to your junior year and, you know, they're asking you, what do you want to do? Well, I want to be a pastor. Well, that's not like the most popular thing. You stand up and you tell them, I want to be a preacher. And they're like, well, good luck with that. You're going to have fun in college. And so if you're a teenager, adult, student, you're here today, you need an inner circle of friends that are Christians. And you know, I'm not saying that we're not all hypocrites. We're all hypocrites. But what I'm saying is that your inner circle needs to be people that add value to your life. And some of you are sitting here today and you're wondering, how do I do that? Keep coming. One of the reasons we have small groups is to connect people in circles, not rows. Life is done better in circles, because when we get in circles, when we break bread, when we get to know each other, our kids get to know each other. When we have refrigerator friends, as I talked about last week, your refrigerator is my refrigerator, I get your refrigerator, and your stuff is better, and I want to come over to your house more and eat. And that's my kids speaking out of me. But you know, this is the reality. We need inner circle of friends. You cannot live the right life with the wrong friends. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. You know what the reality is this morning? And this is the part of the tension that's tough for me. The reality is you may have a friend or friends that are influencing you in a negative way. I started naming these people. Gossip Gabby. Anybody got a gossiping Gabby? Anybody got one of those friends and they're blowing you up with texts? Did you hear such and such? And you're like, no, did you? And they're like, go check her Facebook page. Look what she posted. And then I started thinking about negative Ned. You ever got any negative people? Like you walk in the room or your classroom or work. Did you hear the news? And you're like, no, I was at church being a holy roller. And they're like, oh, you ought to hear it. And you know, they're just always negative, even in their personal life. They probably complain about their family and all of these things. And then, you know, this is one this series got. Kids, I hope you're ready. Twerk and Tammy. Okay, I worked hard on that one. Chances are, I said this, if you're twerking, your friends are twerking, you're probably twerking. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, I don't think Jesus is okay with twerking. I mean, it doesn't make any man's mind right, okay? I'm going to bury that one in this series and never say that again. Now, in light of all that, how do we redefine our friendships? I tell you, I have built some tension with this, but I want to give you two practical things this morning, two things I won't let my friends do. I will never let my friends distract me from God's plan. I will never let my friends distract me from God's plan. Let me tell you something. You go tell some of your friends that you're going to move to some place you don't know where or anybody and try to tell people to love Jesus. You got some friends that look at you kind of crazy like, dude, what are you taking? And you know, sometimes God's going to ask you to do some things that only make sense with you and God. But you know, the friends who doubted me were the ones who weren't in my inner circle. And when I realized this today, there was a time, I love this story because I feel like Peter. You know, Peter used to get the smackdown. If you've never read the Bible, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, man, Peter gets in some awkward situations with Jesus. Peter's one of Jesus' followers. He's one of the 12, and he's actually, you know, one of the three that's closer to Jesus than the others. And one day, Jesus is telling his disciples what's going to happen. He's telling them the story about he's going to die, he's going to be raised from the dead, and Peter's just not having any of it. because in Peter's mind, it doesn't make sense. If he were Jesus, he would do it this way, but he's not Jesus. And so he's bold enough to say, Jesus, that's not going to happen. What you just said, all that is not going to happen. And so Jesus has a response, and I love this because only Jesus can do this. Jesus turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. Now, you want to get in an argument with one of your friends and they don't believe in you? Look at them in the face and say, get behind me, Satan. I bet they'll blow your hashtag up with that one on Twitter. But Jesus goes on to say, you're a stumbling block to me. Think about that. Jesus told one of his own in his inner circle, you are a stumbling block to me. You do not have the mind. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man. And I bet Peter felt like this big on the inside. Can I tell you, man, there's some times Jesus has spoken to me in scripture and he's gotten in my mess and I feel about this big. But you know what? I'm glad Jesus doesn't leave us there. I'm glad I have some friends that challenge me to be a good husband and a father. And sometimes they ask me questions that I can't answer the right way and I feel about this big. But I'm glad that I have an inner circle of friends that challenge me. I was thinking about this for all of our lives. You know, this is one of the hardest things. And I get invited to events, believe it or not. I'm one of those, I don't want to say it this way. I try to live my life as a normal person, and I get invited sometimes to those events on Saturday nights where they have those adult things, and I'll be at those. But, you know, I have seen before in people's lives, and I have friends outside of the church, and, you know, they had all good intentions to go to church, and then they get to that barbecue, and it's like 10:30, you're thinking, man, I got to go to church, and one of your friends is like, come on, man, just stay for another, let's go streaking. That's from a movie, actually. You know, you can get in those moments where you have those friends. I mean, that's a good quote from that movie, because Will Ferrell went to that party wanting to do what his wife wanted him to do, and he wound up naked. And you know, and you don't want to have one of those friends that lets you run around your neighborhood crazy. You know, there's other people that care more about money than people. You know, we live in a world today where you can get caught up in these things. I was thinking about sports, you know, and I'm not talking about being at the ball field. I think the ball field is one of the greatest mission places ever. But there are times when I know people who have good intentions to go to church are like, man, we got a tailgate. Falcons are on at 1. We got to be there at 9. Got to get the grill fired up. And like, you know, that's cool sometimes. But if your whole life is centered around sports and not something other than Jesus Christ, you may have prioritized things differently. This is a true story. I was thinking about how this relates to dating. I will not let any of my friends distract me from God. Are you with me? And so I was dating this girl early in my ministry. And she was very pretty. She was very nice. We got along really well. But I felt inside, and this is true story, students, I felt inside like my faith was different than hers. And not that I was better, but I felt like I was a little more focused on what it was that I wanted to do. And I think I told you she was pretty and she was nice. And so I found myself sometimes getting distracted. You know, getting distracted for the wrong reason, guys. And this relationship was giving me a little tension in my spirit because I was thinking some thoughts that I really shouldn't be thinking. And I remember having to come to this conclusion that this relationship is distracting me from God. And I got to do something, girls. You never say this, okay, guys? It's not you. It really was me. It wasn't her fault. It was me. God was doing something inside of me. I don't want to make that decision sound easy because I had dated this girl for a number of months and it was probably 6 and felt like 100. And, you know, but the reality is I said no to that relationship. And for about 6 months, you know, I was really praying and I met Lori Smith, a student. Okay, I didn't go searching. A student introduced me to this girl named Lori Smith, who's now Lori Green, my wife. And I think about that moment because what if I hadn't just listened to that voice? You know, sometimes God gives us that voice to make those tough decisions. And I'm so thankful because we'll celebrate 10 years of marriage this June, June 12th. You can put that on your calendar. Lori likes flowers, okay? The second thing I will never let my friends do is continually tempt me to sin. This is one of those things that, like, I just remember when I was in college, and I remember feeling this tension. This was like not in the early days of being crazy, but towards the end, I felt this tension of what I was supposed to do versus what I was doing. And I will tell you that, you know, if you've got friends and all they do is gossip, that may not be the best people for your inner circle. Ladies, if you've got women in your life, in your circle, and all they do is talk down about their husbands, if all they do is talk down about them, then that may not be the best people. Guys, if you've got guy friends, and every time you're out to lunch or you're in the gym and they're like, woohoo, check that babe out. Look at her. She's hot. I mean, don't act like guys don't still talk like that. And that just got awkward with y'all. And so there are guys, you know, if you've got guys and they're just always pointing out hot chicks, you know, like that may not be the best for your inner circle. And so I say that with respect because the reality is that we live in a culture today where people are literally addicted to the weekend. I see it all the time. I don't even have to go on Facebook, but I see it all the time. Yeah, we're going out, Taco Mac, we're going to get crazy. And then you see these other things, and like, it'd be one thing if that's like a one, you know, it's like their reunion and they're just going to, you know, have fun with friends and, you know, do the whole karaoke, but like every weekend, that's the post. And I'll tell you, I'm not condemning, but like if your whole life is just partying every weekend, you may never sober up to the love of Jesus. And I just believe today that God has so much more. So as we redefine our relationships, for those of you who are having a tough time, I want to tell you one thing I won't do. Are you ready? I won't stop loving people with the unconditional love of Christ. I want to tell you something. I've been pretty tough with this because I'm talking about inner circle, but I would not be a good pastor if I didn't live life with people far from God. Many of the people that I talk to, many of the people that I will hang out with, still have yet to come to a church like this. But those are not the people in my inner circle. And I just believe today that Jesus is calling us to love people with unconditional love. Jesus said it best this way in John 13, 34 through 35. A new command I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Let me just land this with this. If you show me your future, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. And I just believe today that maybe, just maybe, you are one friend away, one community away from changing your destiny, but it's going to be through the power and presence of Jesus. If this message made you feel a little uncomfortable today, I want to remind you, I had someone boldly come up. I say boldly because anytime you come tell a pastor that their message convicted you, I'm always scared of that. But I had this really nice person come up to me after the first series. Those of you who weren't here, I made everybody in the room the first week write down their top five friends, not their spouse, not their imaginary friend, but their top five friends. And this person said, you know, it was all I could do to name one person. And I don't mean like acquaintances and stuff like that. I mean like real, genuine friendship. And I just want to tell you, if you're here today and this series or message has caused you to reexamine or redefine your friendships, you're not alone. I mean, I thought about this. I was really kind of convicted because, you know, I can talk about refrigerator friends, but man, a lot of mine are not in this room. And I'm hoping to make some more. I'm hoping that God will help me as a pastor not just model this, but live it. And what I want for you, and I know you want this, because this is the vision of our church, to reach people far from God, the edge of life, that's pretty far, that we can make friendships. Imagine right now that there are people on your street, in your neighborhood, at your place of work, that have yet to feel the love of Christ. And I want to tell you, you never know if it's your friendship, your relationship, that gets them to know Jesus. Amen? Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you for the power of friendships and how much they mean to us. And Lord, I just ask that you would take this message today and God, help us not to go judge the people that we're with. But God, maybe we re-examine the people that are in our inner circle of friendships. God, maybe we're in a different season of life and we're looking for those friendships. God, I pray that you would just do what only you can do and bring people into our life that care about us spiritually. God, people that won't lead us astray, but that will help us with wisdom. God, I pray for students in here who are feeling the pressure at their school. They're feeling pressure from people. God, help them to be able to discern what a real friendship is and somebody who's just using them or doesn't truly care about them. God, I pray that as our families come together, that you would help us as adults. Help us to choose our friendships wisely so that our families can grow in the love of Christ. God, I pray most of all that we value friendships because, God, you call us friend. You call us friend because you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for our sins so that we can have a forever friendship with you, God. Lord, help us to never lose sight. Just like that song, that heaven and earth, let heaven and earth come together, Lord. And I pray that in Jesus' name, the church said, amen.